نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم مثلهم كمثل الذي استوقد نارا فلما أضاءت ما حوله ذهب الله بنورهم وتركهم في ظلمات لا يبصرون.
We begin in the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the King of all kings, the Master of all masters, our Creator, our Sustainer. And we send salat and salam, salutation, durood upon Imam al-Anbiya, Sayyidul Rusul Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Continuing with the tafsir of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last few verses has mentioned with regards to the munafiqeen, those who outwardly would claim to be Muslims, but inside their hearts they were hiding kufr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now gives an example of them, a parable, in order to for a person to visualize what their status is like. Like we mentioned before, examples, giving analogies, parables, it helps a person understand certain messages. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَثَلُهُمْ كَمَثَلِ الَّذِي اسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا, that the example of the munafiqeen and the hypocrites is like that person who has lit a fire. فَلَمَّا أَضَاءَتْ مَا حَوْلَهُ, when the fire, it illuminated, it enlightened that which was around them, ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِمْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away their light. وَتَرَكَهُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left them in darknesses, in the state that they were unable to see. So a person, he goes into the jungle where there's no street lights and he lights a fire. So in the darkness of the night, the fire will give him some light. However, if a person, thereafter, he extinguishes that fire, then will he be able to see? No. He'll be left in darkness and he won't know what he's doing, where he's going. Things can hurt him. If an animal was to come, snake, scorpion, whatever it may be, a person won't be able to see and ultimately he'll be harmed and he won't be able to find his way. And this will lead to his destruction. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this is the example of the munafiqeen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives two examples. This is the first one. And the second one starts from أَقْصَيِّبٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. Because there were two types of munafiqeen. The first, whom did not accept guidance at all. The second, that there were those who were slightly affected. They came towards the truth a little bit, but thereafter they turned their backs. So over here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning with regards to the first group. They had the light of the Sharia in front of them, the light of revelation, the light in the form of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the form of the Quran. All the means of hidayah and guidance were in front of them. They could have truly benefited. Before the advent of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were living a life of darkness, a life of misguidance. In the form of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them a chance to be successful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed them the path. That's how a person in the darkness of the jungle, in the middle of the night, he has nothing but that fire. It gives him a chance to survive. It lets him see what's around him. It makes a person be able to protect himself. He can gain warmth, and he can use that fire to guide him through the jungle, so ultimately he can go back home or wherever he needs to go. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them all the means and asbab to be successful, to be guided, to come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they did not wish. They did not wish to change themselves. They did not want to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِمْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away that chance that they had. So istawqa danara, first Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the initial spark of guidance. They experienced that faith. They knew within themselves that Islam is haqq, Islam is the truth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the true messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there was nothing stopping them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gave them, you know, this temporary light, this nur, to recognize the truth. But they were unable to sustain this. Not because they had some inability, but rather they did not want to. Their ego and their nafs was so strong, or they were not willing to subjugate themselves in front of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many commands of the Sharia, it demands that a person, you know, he can't be mutakabbir. A person can't be proud and arrogant. A person needs to accept the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether a person likes it or does not like it. A person is not, you know, is not permitted to be greedy. A person is not permitted to fulfill his desires however he wants. A person is bound by all of these rules and regulations. That person who wishes to live a free life, wishes to follow his nafs and his desires, then he won't wish to gain guidance. He does not ponder over what is to happen after this life, rather he just worried about this life and this worldly status that he has in front of him, this fame that he has, or this wealth that he has. His life just revolves around this. So this was the munafiqeen. They could have gained guidance. They had all the asbab of guidance. They understood deep within themselves that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying the truth, and they would say the kalima through their tongues as well. But inside their hearts, they hid kufr. So one point to mention over here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِمْ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them guidance, or gave them the means of guidance in the form of a fire. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He took the light away from them, He did not say that ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِنَارِهِمْ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the fire away. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said He took their light away. So the commentators, they mention from this that in the apparent the fire remained, but the fire could only have benefited them if there was light to it. If a person has, you know, in the darkness, you know, if you were to just go into the world of imagination, yeah, a person has a fire, but the fire emits no light, then will it be beneficial for him? No. So even if he has a fire, but if the fire is black and there's no light, and, you know, it's useless to him. So over here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He took away the light from that fire. Meaning, in the apparent, they still had iman. In the apparent, they were still doing good actions. Why? Because they would say the kalima with their tongues. In the apparent, they would be with the Muslims. They would come into the masjid and perform salah behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would sit with the believers. They had all of these actions in the apparent, but there's no light to that. There was no reality to that. And just how a fire which does not emit light won't guide a person, similarly, these actions in which a person does not have iman in his heart, it won't benefit a person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَتَرَكَهُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ. Not just in darkness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left them in many darknesses. And the commentators mention that this is multiple, because we have the darkness of kufr, the darkness of shubuhat, doubts, the darkness of arrogance and kibr, takabbur, the darkness of self-deception, that they were thinking to themselves that they're very clever and they're tricking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the believers, but as they were only deceiving themselves. So this is the situation of the munafiqeen. And like always, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over here is mentioning with regards to the munafiqeen, those who have been deprived of the gift of iman, we need to take lessons for ourselves as well. So first and foremost, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives every person a chance to gain hidayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a person a chance to come closer to Him. Different chances and opportunities Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives each and every one of you, each and every one of us, whether this may be in the form of Ramadan, in the form of the day of Jumu'ah, a person listens to a certain lecture, a certain sheikh, a certain friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives a speech and it affects a person. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes iman very strong in a person's heart, and he has that yearning within himself, he has that thought from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I need to follow the Sharia properly, I need to adopt the Sunnah of Rasulullah properly. These things that I'm doing which are not proper, I need to get rid of all of these things from my life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives a person different opportunities. But it is up to an individual whether he takes benefit from these opportunities or not. And this is how the munafiqeen, they had every opportunity to come unto guidance, but they were not bothered, and they turned away. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closed the door for them. So may it not be so, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me and you the opportunity time and time again in order to come close to Him, to repent from our evil ways. But if we keep turning a blind eye and thinking this is not something which is important, we might be like the munafiqeen, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, na'udhu billah, He closes the door of guidance. So the mashayikh, they mention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives a person a moment when He, meaning Allah, is felt vividly within a person's heart. A person feels close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that closeness which a person feels, he needs to increase it with ikhlas, with zikr, and with tawadu. Otherwise, that feeling goes away and a person does not benefit truly from it. Second lesson that we learn, this is how the munafiqeen, they had, in the apparent, they were saying the kalima, in the apparent, they were doing all of these good actions, but it meant nothing. So similarly, this can happen with believers as well. That we have just become habituated, it becomes an adat for us to come into the masjid to perform salah. But we need to analyze that, is this salah actually bringing me closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is worry and concern for the akhirah, is it increasing in my heart? Do I feel a sense of closeness to Allah? Or all these actions of mine, are they just, you know, become mere rituals? Just habits of life. There's certain things which I do and, you know, everyone does, so I just do. You know, my parents tell me to come for salah, I go for salah. Everyone goes for Jummah, I go for Jummah. Everyone fasts in Ramadan, so I just fast. You know, just following the sheep, following the herd. Yeah? If a person does not, you know, a person doesn't have true sincerity in his actions, a person doesn't do the actions correctly with the concentration and with the understanding that this is bringing him closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person just couldn't read the whole Quran. But if it's just lip service, he has no concentration, he has no devotion, no pondering over, you know, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person may, you know, pray 1,000 times, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, whatever it may be. But if it's just there for the sake of it, it's just, you know, moving along the tasbih or the counter, just counting, yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This won't truly benefit a person. For a person to even do that much is from the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as believers, we should strive to be the best. And a person should strive to make his ibadah actually a form of abadiyah. So ibadah means worship. And a person shows to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he is a servant. And he understands Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the Rabb and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the master. So when a person performs these actions, he should do it in a manner that afterwards he actually feels that, yes, I've gained something. I've gone closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, negligence has left my heart. You know, I have a dislike for sin. I have a dislike for the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to spend more time trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to gain more higher ranks in Jannah. It shouldn't be just for the sake of it, just become habits and everyone's doing it, so I'm doing it. And, you know, when people are watching, then you perform salah in a certain way. When no one's watching, then you perform salah, you know, up, down, you know, heads there, 2 minutes, you finish 4 rakats. You know, what kind of ibadah is this? So sometimes we can have outward actions, but if our sincerity is not there, if our devotion and concentration is not there. So one is a person, he's trying his best to have concentration, but, you know, he's getting whispers from here, but he doesn't entertain these thoughts. A person, happens often, a person performing salah, and then he remembers something, or other thoughts come to his mind, and this is how shaitan, he tries to spoil a person's ibadah. So one is that shaitan whispers, and then a person, yeah, he entertains those thoughts in his mind. And on purpose, he starts thinking, yeah, after namaz, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, yeah, I've got this homework to do, I need to go. On purpose, he's thinking, yeah? So this is something which is mazmoon, which is blameworthy. On the other hand, if shaitan puts a thought in a person's mind, and a person, no, I need to concentrate. Yeah. And he does this time and time again, and this is not something which is blameworthy, rather this is something which is praiseworthy. And That person, even though he may feel that I have no concentration and devotion in my salah, such a person will be rewarded double by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? One, because of performing salah, and secondly, that hardship a person has to endure, taking these thoughts out of his mind, you know, a person will be rewarded even more by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because a person, you know, you can't control shaitan. A person can't control his thoughts. But to entertain these thoughts, when they come into your mind, this is in your control. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wholly holds a person to account for what is in his control. So I was mentioning that, you know, we should try to, you know, we say put jahan into our ibadah, bring life into our ibadah by, you know, increasing our sincerity, doing it only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should increase the quality of our ibadah through devotion, through concentration, and another form is by doing actions only where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see. Yeah, hiding your actions, this goes leaps and bounds in bringing a person closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When there's an action only for Allah, no one doesn't want anyone to know. Yeah, in the darkness of the night, when a person wakes up and he prays in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he cries to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he speaks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and doesn't let anyone find out, not his parents, not his siblings, not his spouses, whoever it may be, doesn't let anyone find out. This is what brings the person truly close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the person will feel that attachment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned with regards to the munafiqeen, that when they turned away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them in darknesses. So darknesses for the munafiqeen was kufr, you know, was takabbur, was self-deceit, all of these things. But for us believers, if we turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may put us into darknesses as well. And the darknesses for us is following our nafs. A person becomes a slave to his desires. One thing a person needs to understand, that no one in this world is truly free. No, every person wants freedom. No one is truly free. Either you're a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you're a slave of your desires. That person who thinks I've got freedom, he's not got freedom. In reality, he's a slave of his desires. You know, his nafs and his desires, you know, want to eat certain things, and he just follows his desires. He wants to fulfill his desires in a certain way, he just goes and does that. So no one in this world is truly free. Either you're a slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you're a slave to your own nafs and your desires. It's up to us to choose whom we become a slave of, and do we want to become a slave of our own desires, where we're just always indulged with in trying to please ourselves, or do we try to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of which a person will have everlasting success in this world and the hereafter. Other zulumat which affect a person is shukuk and shubuhat. A person starts getting doubts with regards to the religion, with regards to his beliefs, his aqa'id. And a person becomes ghafil. A person becomes negligent of the hereafter, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These things don't interest him. I don't want to go to the bayan. I don't want to go to the masjid. It's all boring. All of these things he finds boring. He just finds enjoyment in other things which are useless, which won't benefit him, not in this world, not in the hereafter. He finds enjoyment in these kind of things. So this is an effect. When did this happen? When a person turns away from guidance. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a person opportunities, but he just turns away and doesn't benefit from them, then this is the anjam of a person. This is the consequence which a person has to face. And lastly, that when a person turns away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just how the munafiqeen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never said zulma, he says zulumat. Multiple darknesses, a person will face multiple problems in life. The person who turns away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he'll face multiple problems in life. You know, in different ways Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put him through different things. But the opposite is also true as well. That person who turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will get rid of multiple problems from his life. A person, he has this financial problem, he has health problem, he has something going wrong here, something going wrong over there. That person who makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his focus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will solve all of his problems as well. That peace and comfort and the satisfaction of the heart which every person craves, every person wants, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to to Akhtar, as you mentioned, these blessed teachings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us through the glorious Quran. May He give us the ability to appreciate them and implement them within our lives. Ameen wa akhir da'wana. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallam ila Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.